36. The process of confirmation. While the ground of growth is celestial, the realm of the development and manifestation of the growth is terrestrial, earthly. We are to abide in our Lord Jesus there, in order to grow and become fruitful here. Branches in the inverted vine. In the foregoing chapters, we've sought to establish the ground of truth on which we're to stand. Now we need to see that truth is made practical in our daily life and service. But let us first mention three of the principal reasons why many believers fail to live in the new life that is theirs in Christ. There's lack of knowledge, misapplied knowledge, and unbalanced knowledge. First, we're going to look at lack of knowledge. The most prevalent factor is that many Christians do not know the truth concerning their union with the Lord Jesus in his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. All know about his substitution for them, but too few realise their identification with him. This is mainly due to the fact that the identification truths have long been neglected teaching in schools and churches and homes. And next there's misapplied knowledge. There are others, less numerous, but others who know their participation in this aspect of the work of the cross. However, after reckoning upon their identification with Christ, they set about to produce its result by their own self-effort. It isn't readily understood that only the Holy Spirit can make experiential in us that which is already true of us in Christ. It is his specific ministry to apply the death of the cross to the old man, and then to develop the life of the Lord Jesus in the new man. Our responsibility and privilege is to exercise faith, in the fact of our identification, and to walk in dependence on the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Romans 8, verses 1 and 2. We read, walk in the Spirit and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, in Galatians 5, 16. Walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled by and guided by the Spirit. Then you will not gratify the cravings and the desires of the flesh. Thirdly, there's unbalanced knowledge. Still others are saying that in their hungry hearts, I know now that I have died to the old nature on the cross of the Lord Jesus, and I confidently reckon upon that liberating truth. But I'm not so clear about the second half of the reckoning. I seem to know more about the work of the cross than I do about the new life in the risen Christ. Oh, well, be encouraged, believer. Take one thing at a time. The cross does come first. Death to the old precedes the manifestation of life in the new. The years of struggle and failure haven't been wasted, but have been governed by his loving hand to prepare the hungry heart for the blessed exchange. By means of his processing, there comes a time when the failing believer begins to realise that living in and relying upon the old nature is sin, not just a disappointing inconvenience. Living in the old Adam life is illegal cohabitation. It is actually spiritual adultery. The believer has been married to another, even to him that has been raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God, Romans 7 verse 4. He has to learn that in the old fleshly nature dwelleth no good thing, and that even its so-called righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Romans 7 verse 18, and also Isaiah 64 verse 6. So next we look at exchange. This all-important realization provides the necessary hatred of the old man and the desire not for change but for exchange. The horrible old relinquished for the holy new. But what about this life in Christ Jesus? In him we are totally recreated, not just new creatures. Remember that in the tomb we were dead. Then, in Christ risen, we were totally regenerated, not just renovated. A butterfly is a new creature, not a new creation. But our new life and nature are completely new creations of God. All things are become new, and all things are of God. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 and 18. Next, knowing the old, and then we look at knowing the new. Knowing the old. When the Christian's knowledge of Christ in his new life is insufficient or in error, he more or less abides in the old nature, because that's the best that he knows. Oh, how tragic. His mind and his life are centred in that sphere. Is that not where most believers are today? Oh, they are woefully aware of their sinfulness, of the old life within, but they are hung up there. Even so, the Holy Spirit sees to it that this realm of existence becomes unbearable. The work of the cross has enabled them to be free from the domination of the old man, yet they're still paying attention to it. The more they dwell on that source, the more it is activated. And its one byproduct is no good thing, is nothing but sin. Oh, they must let the truth of their position overwhelm the feeling of their condition. And so lastly, we look at knowing the new. When the old life within becomes intolerable, it's time to become acquainted with the new. Oh, unhappy and pitiable and wretched man that I am, writes Paul. Who will release and deliver me from the shackles of this body of death? Oh, thank God, he will, through Jesus Christ. Romans 7, verses 24 and 25. There is the key, knowing the new. It was not for nothing that John said in chapter 17, verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And nor that Paul exclaimed, that I may know him, in Philippians 3, verse 10. How do we come to know Christ as our very life? Is it by the word, and that by the Spirit? The Lord Jesus said, I am the truth. He said to his Father, thy word is truth. And he said of the Spirit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. John 14, verse 6, chapter 17, verse 17, and chapter 16, verse 13. If we leave the realm of the Spirit, wrought and taught word of truth, in an effort to know Christ more personally, some seeming angel of light some denizen of the dark, or an overheated imagination will have us thrilling over a Jesus who is not the Christ. And many today are thus led astray. Then, too, for many Christians, their knowledge of God and their attitude towards him are based on and controlled by circumstances and or by their personal condition, rather than by the word of God. They judge him by what they feel he is doing for them, or seemingly is not doing for them. Self-centered, they complain, and they flounder from failure to failure. But when our knowledge of the Father is Bible-based, we're able to evaluate our circumstances and our personal condition in the light of who he is. Oh, then there is rest and joy in him, no matter what the situation may be. To know him is to trust him and to love him. Calvary is the proof of his love for us. Even if there were no other indication, or if all other indications were to the contrary, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans chapter 8, verses 30 to 32. It is natural for the believer's mind to become fixed on the old nature within, because that has always been his life. But now it is sin to do so. Now he has a new life and a new nature and a renewed mind. And he has been freed from the old so that he can dwell on and abide in the new. To think in the realms of the old brings forth sin and death. But to think on the new results in righteousness and life. Paul, in the word of truth, exhorts us, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Philippians 4 verse 8. Actually, all of these things, in their highest essence and reality, are centred in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. As I rely on what the cross has already done with the old man, I am free as a new man to become intimately acquainted with the Lord Jesus. I am thereby rested in the very process that conforms me into his image.